It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Don't forget, the Genesis of Conway Central Arkansas Open is coming up next week, and you want to be a part of it. It's going to start on Wednesday. You'll have rounds on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the championship round on Saturday at Centennial Valley Country Club in Conway. The ladies will be playing for a total tournament prize purse of $55,000. Admission is free. The professional competition, as I said, begins on Wednesday, runs through Saturday. The awards and check presentation will follow right after play on Saturday. That's scheduled to be about 1 o'clock. So make sure you get out to Centennial Valley Country Club for the Genesis of Conway Central Arkansas Open. You never know, you might see a future LPGA star playing right here in Central Arkansas. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I introduce you to Jason Branch. Jason is a PGA professional, the head golf professional at Chamberlain Country Club in Danville, Arkansas. Chamberlain is a fantastic place to play and has some of the best views around the state that you will find. Jason Branch grew up in Fort Smith and is now the head pro at Chamberlain, and you are going to learn more about him in a matter of minutes. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you stay at one of their hotels. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, a great sponsor of From the Short Grass. I'm back after this. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Jason Branch grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas, playing over there around Fiana Hills and occasionally at Hartscrabble Country Club. Fiana Hills no longer a country club, and that is why Jason is now at Chamberlain Country Club as the head golf professional in Danville, Arkansas. You're going to learn more about how he ended up at Chamberlain and how he also got involved in the game of golf. On the tee, Jason Branch.
Jason, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
I do not. I was supposedly 2 years old. I don't remember that.
Very young.
Grandfather and grandmother played a lot of golf back in those days, and they'd take me out to the golf course. And
what golf course?
That'd be Fiana Hills Country Club in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
So born and raised in Fort Smith,
yeah. Okay. Grew up playing Fiana and had the opportunity to play Hartscrabble quite a bit as well.
I was going to say, I mean, Hartscrabble and Fiana, those were the two clubs back in the, what, 80s, 90s, 2000s?
Yeah, really, even for me, you know, going back to the 70s and 80s, that's kind of where I found my roots in the game and had all my rounds.
You decided, obviously, to start playing competitively. What age were you when you decided that, okay, I want to try and play in some tournaments? Or was that your parents and your grandparents kind of getting you involved in that?
Really kind of my background. My father was a high school football coach at Fort Smith Northside. So I was around athletics from the time I was born. I had a ball of some sort in my hand. And I just kind of gravitated to golf in the summer. For one, it was fun, and I was decent at it. But yeah, it was just growing up in Fort Smith playing golf in the summer. All the other sports fall and spring. But yeah, it was early on. I started playing some ASGA stuff at an early age. Back in those days, there were a lot of events, and they were well participated.
So your dad was a coach at Northside, but yet you went to Southside?
That's exactly right. I was a...
That can't work, right?
I was a Reb. I don't know what they're called now, but it's always going to be a Southside Rebel to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Your dad was a Grizzly.
He was. The battle of Rogers Avenue was a tough week in the household, but we made peace with it. And Southside had good football teams, and Northside did back then.
Yeah, Southside had some real good football teams back then. Yeah. I mean, good basketball teams, too, at times.
Decent.
Kind of when your brother was coming up, they had really good basketball teams. I mean,
they did.
Barry Lunny Jr., and Barry Lunny was the coach at Southside.
He was. Coach Gatlin was still there when I was in high school, and he was an awesome guy. But Coach Lunny came after he retired and brought a dynamic offense. It helped that he had a son that he kind of plug and play, and Barry Jr. did a fantastic job, and they built a great program, and it has survived for a long time there.
College, after high school, what was that like?
College golf, I spent a spring break in Columbus, Mississippi at Old Waverly, getting lessons from a guy named Mike Shannon, who was a putting and short game guru back in the 80s, and he gave me an opportunity through Coach Baird Smith to go play golf at Mississippi State. And they also had a PGM program there. I went and spent 2 years there, and they were great times, but it was a little bit far away, and it was a little bit different culture for me. I wasn't used to some of the things that happened in Mississippi, but I decided to transfer and play a little bit at Arkansas as well after that. Had a good time at Fayetteville, probably too good a time.
But, Coach Woodley back in the day?
Yeah, Bill Woodley. And we had a super fantastic team. You know, you had Jack and David White and the Pappas brothers. It was awful hard to try to crack a tournament back then.
I would say.
Yeah, you got a whole team of All-Americans.
They were pretty good.
They were.
Southwest Conference champions, I believe?
They were the final year of the Southwest Conference. Then they transgressed into the SEC, and from there it's been history.
Being an alum of the University of Arkansas and seeing what Coach McMakin's been able to do with the team, you kind of excited. I mean, he was runner-up to the national title, lost to Texas A&M in match play, the first time I believe they had match play at the NCAA championships.
He has built a fantastic program through recruiting. The facilities up there that they play now are just world-class. I know you've been out there a bunch. The Blessing's a great golf course. Like I say, the whole practice facility and the hog complex there is over the top. So I don't think he's going to lack for recruiting going forward.
What did you learn about yourself and about the golf game when you were around guys like the Pappas brothers, a Jack O'Keefe, a David White?
I was always kind of a hot-headed, aggressive player, and I learned through those guys that that's not really the best way to play. I mean, hitting fairways, hitting greens. You know, you watch Jack O'Keefe, in my opinion, one of the better putters that I've played with, and his short game was phenomenal. David was just a fantastic ball striker, David White. And the Pappas brothers, they were both extremely talented. But you pick up a lot of ways to play the game by watching better players. And that's the main thing I got out of it is, man, I was hanging around some talented individuals and learned a lot of how to navigate around the golf course and kind of control your emotions a little bit.
Who was better, Brendan or Dean?
Man.
Tough question.
That's a tough question. It's one that I'm not going to really answer. I mean, they're both great in their own right. You know, Dean was a little bit older. He seemed like a man when I was a kid on the team. And he was pretty talented, but Brendan could take it deep too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they both, I mean, played professionally, European tour, I believe, and even dabbled on the PGA tour some, right?
That's correct.
Did you ever have any aspirations of the PGA tour?
I did not. My game wasn't up to that level.
Did it not enter your mind? Did you not think, hey, I might want to go pro? Or did you know that, okay, I've got no shot?
You just kind of know. I mean, when you're around the top tier of players, you know that if you belong or you don't, or if you're going to want to have the drive to commit to that kind of practice to improve your game and mental ability to compete at that level. I knew kind of my direction was going to be more in the golf shop, giving lessons, giving back to the game that direction. And that's the direction I went after college and a little stand up playing some mini tour stuff.
Did you kind of know that when you were at Mississippi State because of the PGM program that they had down there that you thought maybe this might be my path or the trek that I want to take?
Right. The PGM program was a phenomenal program at Mississippi State. One of the reasons I wanted to go there, I did some internships at Old Waverly, Grand Cypress in Orlando, and I spent a summer back home at working for Mark Corlett at Hardscrabble Country Club. That was a summer I was wanting to try to play more events in the state, and he was a nice enough man to be able to give me off some time to participate in those events.
How about Old Waverly? What a golf course.
Tell you what, it was brand new when we were there, and it was well worth the drive from Stark Vegas to go out to Columbus. I mean, it was a long drive, but it was a
pretty... Roads have gotten a little better now.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And I hear Mossy Oak across the road is pretty good, too.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I have not played Mossy Oak, played Old Waverly plenty of times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't been able to get over to Mossy Oak. I hear that you can see every hole from every tee box, basically, on Mossy Oak.
That's what I've heard.
No trees.
Yeah, it's it looks like prairie grass out there to me. Old Waverly, when we were there, they didn't even have the monstrosity of a clubhouse that they have there now. It was just kind of a golf shop and cart shed that was, well, years to go before they got into the process of building the villas out there and that massive clubhouse. But Mr. Bryan did a great service for that part of Mississippi to build that kind of facility there.
So after college, did you go and were you an assistant somewhere before you got the job at Fiana Hills?
I did. I worked at Old Waverly for a little bit, and then I moved back to Fort Smith and worked for Wayne Meeks there at Fiana Hills, who was the pro there when I was growing up. He needed some help. I think he was looking to do some other things, which he ended up becoming the head pro at Hardscrabble a couple years after I was there. So I just segued into a good spot for myself back in those days.
Growing up on that course,
yeah.
Is it kind of a pinch-me-self moment that, hey, yeah, I grew up here and now I'm the head pro at Fiana Hills?
I wouldn't call it a pinch-me mode, but it was one where I felt comfortable with all the people there. And I was at a young age, probably 24, 25, when I had that head job there. And like I say, it's nice to go into a situation where you know everybody and know their history. And it was just a comfortable place to learn my ropes as a PGA professional.
Is it kind of sad to see what happened with it?
Yeah, I would say it's a little sad. You lose the history of a golf course when it doesn't become financially feasible to keep it open. The market at the time in Fort Smith was well pre-COVID, when we're talking 6 years ago. And, I think Fort Smith Golf is striving now, losing Fianna. I mean, you've got Ben Guerin surviving now, and when they struggled for a long time. They've got a great superintendent there named Jay Randolph. He's done a lot of good things with that golf course. And I think Hardscrabble has been better for picking up members that way. So golf in Fort Smith is in a good place now. I think they might have had overbuilt with golf courses at the time. I think Eagle Crest was there, and I think they ran through a similar situation where they might have shut down for a while.
Fianna Hills and hosting some of the designated tournaments that you did, it seemed to me like it was usually early in the golfing season, pre-Masters, or it was right around the Masters every year. And I remember one time it was bitterly cold. I remember, I think I teed off on a Saturday in a tournament there with ski pants on. It was that cold.
I remember that fondly. I don't know what my deal is with ASJ events, but it seems like I always get the kicked off event of the season, whether it be in Fort Smith or here now in Danville. That event you're talking about, I think we experienced all the seasons in that one round. I think it was sleeting. We had snow, rain. It was brutal. And as I recall, you played a pretty solid round over there, Mr. Shad.
I was cold. I don't know how solid, but I remember that my wife, we were there. We had the cart cover on. We had the heaters going. And she was like, if you keep me warm, we'll be okay. And every time I got out to hit a golf shot, she was like, shut the side of the cover. I mean, she was freezing. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah, you in golf in Arkansas in the spring, you don't know what kind of weather you're going to get. I mean, it's just hit and miss. It's just Arkansas living.
What made Fianna Hills Fianna Hills back in the day?
It was developed by a man named Herman Udodge. He didn't have any golf and course knowledge or anything like that. He owned a furniture factory called Riverside and decided that he was going to build a golf course and build a housing development. There was really nothing out that side of Fort Smith back in the early 70s. I think that course opened in 72 or 73. But he built it, and there were a bunch of homes around it, and it was a thriving community. What made Fianna work? It was a lesser price level than Hardscrabble, and it gave people access to private country club living at an affordable fee, but that comes at a price.
Mm-hmm.
Golf in Fort Smith is a little different than golf throughout the rest of the state. As a junior, you're kind of raised by wolves there. What I mean by that is there's a contingent of golfers that, as a young kid, you're all inspired by their betting patterns out there on the golf course. And when you become of a certain ability and you get into those games, you fund your higher education through those matches. So,
oh, really?
So you can be raised by wolves there in Fort Smith back in the 70s and 80s. Hopefully that's changed.
Chamberlain Country Club, the move here. Obviously, you know, losing the Fianna Hills and it shutting down. But, you know, I've always said as one door closes, another door opens. And here you are. And, Jason, every time I come here, I'm awestruck at just the beauty of the land that this course is on.
Yeah, yeah. I was super fortunate after we shut down there in Fort Smith to get a job here. Mr. Chambers, Johnny Chambers, Chambers Bank, hired me to be his golf pro after 2 months of wandering around the house, being sulky and sad, wondering what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. It just kind of opened up. I had not been down here in 15 years, so I wasn't real familiar with the course. Definitely not familiar with Yell County living. Man, tell you what, I came down here and interviewed with Mr. Chambers and came out and toured the golf course with my wife, and it was in February and the sun was setting. It's just it's God's country down here. It's beautiful, and the land that we do live on and out here at Chamberlain and the golf course that we get to play, it's kind of a diamond in the rough. Not a lot of people know about it. It's kind of off the beaten path, but we're trying to do things to get some more people aware of what we're doing here at Chamberlain.
It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And there are some holes that will take your breath away.
There are. There's some holes, a couple signature holes. We have one that was built with an old homestead down at the bottom of the hill. And what's left of it was a chimney, and we call it the Chimney Par 3. It's right in the middle, in front of the green. It's kind of unique, but it's a beautiful view up there. If you get up on like number 8 and kind of look around, you can see all the mountains around. And like I say, it's a beautiful, quiet place to live. And it's a super community down here. And I think that's why this community is starting to grow. You know, he's expanding some roads out here and opening up some new lots. We have people moving in all the time.
The move from Fort Smith to what you called Yell County Living. Was it difficult or was it easy?
It was a little bit of a
a change.
It's not like Fort Smith was a major city or anything, but there's just if you wanted to do something, you could go do it. Here, you know, we have a couple of restaurants. The roads are very quiet. There's not a lot of traffic on them, and you know, for the first time, I noticed there were stars in the skies. You know, there's no ambient light around, and you look up and you can see everything. So it's unique. We are a dry county. The club does have a liquor license. That was different to get used to.
Yeah,
to have to drive, make a committed day to find something that might enhance your golf game.
I noticed sitting behind you, you have two plaques, Professional of the Year. What do those mean to you?
That means a lot to me. You know, we have a lot of great golf professionals in this state, and they all do a super fine job of running their facilities. And a lot of them don't ever get recognition, and they should. I was blessed enough to get elected as officers into our chapter. And a big reason for that would be Barry Howard. I've considered him like a huge mentor of mine. And he's for those of you who don't know Barry, you need to get to know him and go to Hot Springs, because he is a golf pro's golf pro.
He
cares about the people and the game, and that's what it takes.
Well, and he's also, anytime that an ASGA event needs to be at Hot Springs Country Club, he'll have it. He is dedicated. And the fact that he's got 36 holes that he can put his members on one side and he can hold a tournament. I mean, U.S. Open qualifiers always down there. ASGA, PGA Pros, Randy Beaver Cup matches are down there. It used to be the Nike Cup before the Randy Beaver Cup matches. I've asked Barry on this podcast before what that record was. Might as well ask you, do you know what it is?
I don't know the exact record, Trey. I don't try to keep track of losses.
You know what Barry tells me?
What's that?
Us pros must be pretty good teachers.
Well, you know, the old adage is we try to stay in the golf shops and let the course be freed up for you players.
It's a lot of fun, though.
That is a spectacular event, and something that's it's always a blessing to be a part of. The timing of the year, late October, that golf course is always in phenomenal shape for it. Getting to meet new amateur players that you might not have met the year before. Just the camaraderie among the team format. And it's just a great time. I think the ASGA does a great time or job of fielding a substantially strong team every year. And the PGA Pros, we try to compete. And like I say, it means a lot to us. Randy Beaver was a fantastic PGA pro who passed away of cancer, and they changed the name to the Randy Beaver Cup from the Nike Cup. Kim Backus was the Nike rep for years.
It was his idea.
And, it was kind of his brainchild, and, you know, he donated gear for the event. So I want to give a shout-out to Kim Backus for getting that started. But, Randy Beaver Cup, something to – that we all should attain to qualify for as PGA professionals and on the amateur side, because it's just a special weekend in Hot Springs, and they do a great job down there.
Jason, the best golf course you've ever played?
Shadow Creek in Vegas.
Wow. You remember what you shot?
Yeah, I do. I've played it 5 times. The first time I went around that golf course, I shot in the 80s, and then the final four times, it was low 70s. Great facility. It's a special place. It's a fun time to play when you're out in Vegas.
Go
see Shadow, because it's an experience if you have an opportunity to play there.
No doubt. It is a fantastic place. All right. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three other golfers that you would like to play a round of golf with. You could have already played with them or want to play with them.
Fantasy foursome. I'd have to throw my grandfather, who's deceased, in that, because it'd be fun to play with him one more time. Mm-hmm. I would have to say Jack Nicklaus is always a good one. Eldrick Woods.
Also known as Tiger.
And I know that's a lot of people are hating on him, but I'd still like to play with Greg Norman. He was kind of, as a kid growing up, he was kind of the guy I wanted to play like, aggressive off the tee and just kind of a swashbuckler. I liked his style. I know not a lot of people like what he's doing now with LIV, but be it as it may, he was a great player, and I'd like to play around with him.
Yeah, he was a good player. Jason, I can't thank you enough for your time and what you do for the ASGA and, just up here at Chamberlain now. And if we can get more people to come up here and play, I mean, what do they need to do? Just call you?
Just give me a call. Area code 479-495-4110. Or you can always just email me at jasonbranch@pga.com. And I'd love to get a group down here. We do have some villas on property where you can stay and play, and it makes for a fun and affordable golf experience for you. Like I said, if you want to have fun in the fall or in the summer, just come out here and we'll get you set up in the villas.
Might be a little warm in the summer, but fall golf here at Chamberlain, I don't think you can beat it.
No, it's perfect. You know, our membership base in the fall, there we have a lot of hunters down here, and in the golf course, all the tee sheet starts opening up. That was one of the culture shocks I had. I was like, what do you mean? September comes around, and to me, it's my favorite time to play golf in the fall. And they're like, you want to have a solo out here? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, everybody deer hunts out here. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't believe it, but after the first season, I was like, yeah, they find something else to do.
They go do something else, and Jason can go work on his game then.
That's right. It frees me up some time to hopefully to get back to that Beaver Cup.
There you go. Jason, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate what you do for the state. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Congratulations to Richard Bland. He wins the U.S. Senior Open at Newport Country Club in Newport, Rhode Island. He beat Hiroki Fujita in a playoff. Now, Bland shot a final round 66, 13 under par in the finish on Monday because of the weather that they had to endure on Sunday. Bland and Fujita playing a two-hole aggregate playoff, both still tied. They then went to the 18th hole where they both bogeyed, had to play it again, and that time Bland. And the third time they played the hole, Bland blasted a bunker shot, hit the flagstick, dropped an inch by the hole, and tapped in for par to win. It was the 1001 USGA Championship. The first USGA Championship was played at Newport Country Club. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it, and a couple of more, and I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.